We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jackman here for another Brooklyn Buzz and another Nets loss. The Nets go down to the lowly Detroit Pistons, 118-112, handing the Pistons their 9th win of the year and the Nets their 37th loss. This is dire straits. Now, Nick touched on the Grizzlies game a little bit, and look, that was pretty dire straits as well. Like, we're finding new levels of low, of incompetence, of, you know, really bad basketball. Because the way that this team is right now is, what are we and where are we going? I think, like, not to get all existential about a bloody basketball team, but that's where the Nets are at right now. There was some mild shining lights. Dennis Schroeder, 39 minutes, 12 of 17 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3. Hit 2 of his 3 throws. Also had 8 assists, had a board. Only had the 3 turners for his 31 points. It was a great performance from him. You know, and his, I think this is via Eric Slater, if I'm not mistaken. Let me find it. Yep, so Dennis Schroeder's been nearly at 51% from 3 as a Brooklyn Net, which would be the best of any player in the NBA since he joined the Nets. So over that little stretch, Dennis Schroeder has been lights out. Lights out from three. But he didn't have many guys next to him tonight. The other guy that I want to, you know, just focus on somewhat of the positives was Lonnie Walker. The Lonnie Walker flu game, he said at halftime. He was coming into the game, he was questionable, and then he spoke to Megan Triplett at halftime, and you know, his dad gave him the advice, is like, you know, you don't show weakness whenever you're out there on the court, and just great advice. This guy's a warrior. I've sung the praises of Lonnie Walker time and time again, and I will continue to do so. Like, these are both guys that are new to this team, and they're having a firm imprint on them. In the absence of Cam Thomas, both of those guys provided playmaking and point guard play that the Nets have so sorely needed. And, you know, 8 of 18 from the field, 5 of 14 from 3, 4 boards and assists, only the 2 turnovers, 21 points in his 29 minutes. Lonnie's something else. I have an irrational love for a guy like him, and maybe I have an archetype that I'm a fan of when it comes to basketball. These sort of really aesthetically pleasing and talented offensive guards, but Lonnie is that. And Lonnie had some really nice moments tonight, like really nice moments. He, funnily enough, was the first Net to score tonight. The Nets were down 0-0, and they were down 8-0, and they were 0-5 shooting, and then Lonnie hits a 3-ball, and the Nets finally get on the board. So, look, outside of that, I can't really pick out many positive moments. You know what? I'll go to Noah Clowney. Noah Clowney had some nice little moments here or there. You know, a couple of steals, a couple of dimes, excuse me, a couple of boards. I think that he's proving that he's going to continue to develop. And you know, his first game since the Boston debacle, that was the game that got Jacques Vaughn fired. But him being back and showing a little bit. You know, I think he's got some tools there. He really is a talented young player. He's got, you know, his post defense that led to a steal on Jalen Duren was really nice. I just think that he's got some chops that's he's going to be a long-term solid NBA center. You know, with Nick Claxton's future somewhat up in the air, and when you've got a Clowney and a Dayron Sharp in reserve, do you really want to pay Nick Claxton, you know, elevated $20, $25 million, whatever it might be? And, you know, you scour the market. Are there going to be many other teams clamoring for Clax's services? But Clax was okay tonight. Like, he was 5-8 from the field, 5-7 from the free throw line, had a double-double, 15 and 10, 2 assists, a steal, did have the 3 blocks. And it's weird. Like, there's almost like there's two personalities to Clax. Like, there's one where he's just, like, not impactful, not forceful, not aggressive, and just sort of the game sort of just flows around him. And then there's the one where he dictates the game. He is the aggressor on offense and defense. And I think the Nets did a good job, including Schroeder, finding him and when he had advantageous mismatches. And he was able to take advantage of that a few times here and there. But, yeah, and obviously his shot blocking and athleticism is, you know, out of sight. And, you know, we're talking about a guy that's 24 years old himself. So we're not talking about, you know, one of those sort of Nikola Vucevic, Jakob Poeltl sort of guys where you're paying guys that are in their late 20s, early 30s. So Nick Claxton could still have plenty of growth to go. But yeah, it's certainly one that will play out and one that will be discussed time and time again, like I personally already have on The Buzz. But yeah, another good game from Clax, but one where, you know, there were probably greater moments from the likes of, you know, Isaiah Stewart and Jalen Duren and even a James Wiseman in fleeting moments here or there. So I would say that the center position is one to watch for the Nets going forward, as has been the case for a little while. But after break, guys, we'll get to the rest of the game as well as Ben Simmons and maybe touching a little bit on where Mikal Bridges is at.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rest of the game, guys, Dorian Finney-Smith was pretty solid enough. It's exactly what you want out of a role player like him. 5-9 from the field, 3-7 from three. Did have the 4 boards, 2 steals, and a block. You know, he was one of the few guys who was positive in their plus minus. So it showed that when he was out there, good things were happening offensively and defensively. +7 on the night to go with his 13 points. But there were the only other guy that was positive in the plus minus was Clax, you know, who was +3, you know, with the starters. The rest of them were -6 for Mikal Bridges, -2 for Dennis Schroeder, and -2 for Dennis Smith. Dennis Schroeder, Dennis Smith Jr. Getting my Dennis's mixed up. But in saying that, you know, I think DFS has been pretty consistent and solid of late. So, you know, you can't really ask more of him, but you can ask more of some other guys. I like the minutes that we got from Trent Watford in towards the end of, like, the first half. He had a few good, like, sort of driving layups, really forceful. When he's around that rim, he's money. I just think that he maybe could have earned a few minutes here or there. I think Kevin Ollie could have found some time from him. Jalen Wilson, you know, he was hustling. Like Noah Clowney, those guys were hustling on the boards, and I think the Nets could have done a much better job on the glass. They were out-rebounded 50-29. And I think that's where the game was lost. Like, there was no the physicality and desperation. You know, the second chance points, Detroit really, really, like, embarrassed the Nets in a lot of ways. And the Nets, you know, allowed Detroit to shoot a pretty lofty 52.4% from the field and 40% from three and 95.2%. They had a 50-40 night. A 50-40-90 night. The Pistons. Now, again, no disrespect, but somewhat disrespect. This is a team that's won its 10th freaking game. The Nets have only won 25 themselves, and they barely got past the Pistons in previous iterations. So it's a paltry, paltry performance. You know, 28 boards to 50, absolutely disgraceful. 13 offensive boards to 4. Like, that's disgraceful. 56 points in the paint. The Nets, it was just a debacle. You know, the Nets were down by as much as 18. They were able to fight back, you know, thanks to some strong play from Lonnie in the second quarter, who at one point was 4-4 from the field. They were 11-14 in that period at around 7 or 8 minutes into it. You know, then there was some positive moments from DSJ. You know, there was some good ball movement and driving and penetrating. There was like a moment in 52-49 where Clax got a nice cutting dunk off a Mikhail handoff and a DSJ cut leading to another Clax cut. That's the sort of stuff that the Nets need to do a lot more of. And I think they just don't really have the talent. There's some injuries here or there as well. But in saying that, like, Lonnie Flew game, a Schroeder masterclass, there aren't many more positive things to say about this game. This ranks as one of the 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even the worst game of the season for the Brooklyn Nets. And it just puts into stark realization that this organization isn't a Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young away. They are two Trae Youngs and two Donovan Mitchells and picks and just so many rotation pieces. You know, Cam Johnson, you know, being out, you know, hurts a little bit. He's been playing pretty well of late. You know, Darren Sharp, Cam Thomas has been out for a while. So I think that maybe if some of those guys were healthy, you beat the Detroit Pistons. But it's the Detroit Pistons. Like, this is with the Wizards right now, two of the worst teams in the NBA. And look, the Pistons have been better of late in terms of the quality of basketball they've been playing. But, you know, Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, those were the two best players on the floor tonight with Dennis Schroeder. And those are two young, up-and-coming players that were drafted by the Detroit Pistons. Now, the Nets have Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, you know, these sort of guys that were drafted by Jalen Wilson, you know, Noah Clowney, Derek Whitehead, these sort of guys that were drafted by the team. But are they? Cam Thomas, obviously, I'm incredibly optimistic about and probably irrationally high on. But when you're offered so many different iterations of 10 picks, sorry, not 10 picks, 3, 4 picks, Houston Rockets picks, Pelicans picks, Grizzlies picks for Mikal Bridges, a guy that has been paltry of late outside of Atlanta. He looks like Jordan in the finals whenever he goes against Atlanta. But, you know, outside of that, I'll go through just the past few games for Mikal Bridges. Tonight, he was a paltry 4 of 11 from the field in 43 minutes, 3 of 7 from 3, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. Did have 7 assists and a steal, but did have the 3 turnovers, was minus 6 for his 13 points. In other games, you know, outside of the stretch where he dominated against Atlanta, 15 points in against Philadelphia, 15 points on 33% shooting, 14 points on 28.6% shooting against the Grizzlies. Now, you know, that first game against Atlanta, he was 6 of 14, so 43% shooting, nothing to write home about. Against the Orlando Magic, 15.4% shooting. Against the Memphis Grizzlies earlier, where they won that game, he was 40% shooting. 7 of 21 against the Minnesota Timberwolves, 7 of 16 against the Toronto Raptors in a big loss, and 4 of 12 against those Boston Celtics. It's Mikal Bridges being asked to do too much, and, you know, I think Lucas Kaplan wrote a pretty detailed piece on Nets Daily, and I sort of said that I think, not necessarily that Mikal Bridges has regressed, but I think he's being asked to do too much. You're not going to get the high-level defensive player in Mikal Bridges when he has to have so much of an offensive burden. And then you're not going to get the offensive output, and where his three-point shooting looks so much more in rhythm and quick twitched, if that makes any sense. You sort of see you look at his, I think I posted something the other day on Twitter where you see the wrist action and you sort of see the flick of that wrist, and it just looks like it just looks smooth. And I think there's times where you can sort of tell where Mikal is out of rhythm. And I think the burden on him, and I think also him personally just having such a strong desire to just be out there like a warrior is incredibly admirable. And I don't know where the Nets would be without him, because he's still one of the Nets' better players, if not their best player. The way he's played lately, you wouldn't necessarily advocate for that. But he's playing so much basketball. And I don't think the modern NBA player is made to play 82 games. Like, you take off 5, 6, 7 games here or there. You know, There's been plenty of times where we've seen Mikael, you know, sprain an ankle here or there, you know, twitch his knee a little bit, you know, hurt his shoulder. He's had little niggling, his fingers. He's had little different things here or there. And it's just like, I kind of want him to take a break for his sake, because I think that mental and physical reprieve will do him well. But maybe he has different views and the Nets have different views for him. But, you know, he's played a lot of basketball going back to the FIBA World Championship. This guy's barely getting a break. So that's certainly having an effect on him, I think. I think it's just a lot is on his shoulders. And I don't think, you know, he's just, not to make a body sort of comparison analogy, but he's not a guy that can carry it. He's not a guy that can carry that burden. He's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not Paul George. He's sort of like that, you know, pretty, he's like a better man's version of Jeremy Grant. He's sort of like that sort of top 30-ish sort of player, fighting-ish for an all-star game. And because his efficiency isn't there and the defense is locked in on him, you know, he hasn't made the strides or continued the hot form that he showed last year. So we'll see what pans out for him, but I'm hoping Mikal Bridges gets back to a semblance of form, or they utilize him a bit better in the organization. But the Nets are meddling right now, to say the least. But you know, another bloke who we won't see for who knows how long is Ben Simmons. And I guess to no shock, we got that Ben Simmons will be out for the remainder of the season while he consults with specialists and explores treatments for the nerve impingement in his lower back. That's why the Nets and Shams Charania. Now, that's 2 days after Bernie Lee, Ben Simmons' agent, hinted that things weren't going well. You know, for him, he spoke to SNY. It's a continuation of the same injury that he's dealt with all year. We're trying to get clearer answers out to help him get out of it. And he sort of took, like, you know, responsibility for him being injured. And it's just like, no, like, Ben has to take some responsibility for himself. He also said, we continue to try and find non-surgical options to allow Ben to move forward on a permanent basis. And that is where my personal responsibility, and I'm the one to blame. Ben's done, man. Like, it's a sad state of affairs because, you know, he's a guy that's had so much talent and so much, he's proven so much in a short period of time, early point in his career in Philadelphia, and as an Australian basketball export, one of the phenoms, you know, a guy that wanted to play in Paris, but that's going to happen. So that's a bit of a disappointment for me personally, especially with things that are happening with Josh Giddey that, you know, are a discussion for another day. And I think that it's just over for Ben. And unfortunately, you know, who knows what will happen next year. You know, do the Nets use him as fodder in a trade? And does anyone want him as fodder in a trade? They can't get a DPE for him because that had to happen before January 15. So it's just a bit of a sad state of affairs. His body has continued to fail him season after season in Brooklyn. And, you know, that James Harden, Ben Simmons trade, I know a lot of people went at me and saying, oh, it shouldn't, it's you know, the Sixers lost Harden, but the Sixers also have like a lot of space. They had Harden for a period and now they have the space and flexibility to go after some other guys. And look, it's maybe a lose-lose trade, and maybe the Nets are bigger losers. That's probably how I should have coined it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of losing happening in Brooklyn right now, Nets fans, and not a lot to hold on to. But as always, I appreciate everyone listening into the Brooklyn Buzz, and during these sort of disappointing times, as always, give us a rating and review on any streaming platform of your choice. Nets World, we'll keep going.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.